of his love. If the pen of the writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. The warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter of summer, the changing of leaves.
Oh, joy, sir.
Food on my table, a good place to sleep.
Hallelujah.
Clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Hallelujah. Oh, I have been blessed.
Oh, shakalera. Hallelujah.
I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me.
Oh, hallelujah.
No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good
to me.
So good. I have been blessed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on.
Listen to that.
When I am down, the rock where I run to when I'm overwhelmed.
Hallelujah.
The place where I hide.
Glory.
Under his wing. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. I have been blessed.
I have been blessed, Lord.
Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good.
God has been good.
So good.
Oh, so good.
I have been blessed. Oh, I have been blessed. God's so good to me.
Hallelujah.
Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time.
Hallelujah.
So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good.
Listen to that song.
So good.
Oh,
I have been blessed.
I've been blessed. Don't listen to
that. Oh, I have been blessed. God's so good to me.
Yes.
Precious are his thoughts of you and me.
Hallelujah.
No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good.
Can you say he's been good to you?
So good.
Can you say he's been
good?
I
have been blessed.
I've been so blessed. I've been
my shoulder to lean on.
Well, you know, I like to go on. That song is absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Miss Baggett. That's the wife of our evangelist, camp meeting evangelist. Finished preaching camp meeting last evening. And oh, what an awesome, spectacular camp meeting we had. Right in the middle of this virus, right in the middle of shutdowns of all description, we just had camp meeting. How about that? Right in the middle of all that was happening, we had camp meeting. Now, I like that. I just believe that's how it ought to be. I just believe that's how it's ought to be. Right in the middle of camp meeting, right in the middle of virus, we had camp meeting, and we had such nice crowds, not big, but nice. And I've documented over 5,000 people have joined us by Facebook. Over 5,000 people have joined us by Facebook. Would you say praise the Lord? I'm telling you, I am praising the Lord for what it means to us. Now, we're on Facebook, and we're on internet, and we're on your computer in your hand. Anywhere you want to get us, you can get us. The radio here in Charlotte is 1150. 1150, that's out of South Carolina, Rock Hill, but 5,000 watts, and anywhere in Charlotte, you should get it. Hey, listen, we are blessed people, and we've been blessed, and I know there's a lot of things happening around us that disturb the daylights out of you, but we've been blessed, and I am blessed and overblessed. Amen. Amen, and praise the Lord. Now, we got a great broadcast today. I'm doing a program on, listen to me, pulling down Satan's strongholds. Pulling down Satan's strongholds. Could I get everybody that's on Facebook to go to that little button over on the right where it says share, share, and share this with all of your friends, every last one of them. Now, I'm going to look for that. I'm going to look for you who say you're behind me. Well, get behind me and quit being so far back I can't find you, and share this with everybody you know. I mean, we're talking about one of the most important subjects I could bring to you, pulling down the devil's strongholds. You may not understand, but Satan sets up strongholds everywhere a person is not under the blood nature and the blood grace of Jesus Christ. You either under Christ or you are in some form or fashion under the devil. You say, I'm a good moral person. There are good moral people who serve the devil. They're good moral people who've never been born again, and in some way or the other, they're subject to the world around them and the world that Satan himself is the prince of the power of. And I'm telling you, every one of you need to learn how to pull down the devil's strongholds. You got a son or daughter that's on drugs. You got someone that's bound with some demon spirit. You got someone bound with some moral power that has taken them captive. There are many things out there in which we reflect or see reflected the stronghold of the devil. The devil is setting up a stronghold. He'll blind your mind lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto you and you would be saved. If he didn't do anything but blind your mind that you don't hear the glorious gospel, that would be enough for you to go after him and pull down his stronghold. The devil has strongholds everywhere. I believe this virus is a stronghold of the devil. I don't think there's any doubt about it. A stronghold of the devil. We had a whole week here, and we didn't have a bit of problems. Well, one, because we pray 2-3 hours a day and believe that the Holy Spirit of God sets about this place and sets up a barrier around this place and drives the devil away. And I believe angels move in the wake of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you got a moving of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have a moving of angels. You cannot have a movement of the Holy Ghost without having a movement of angels. And when you got that kind of double backup, that kind of double defense, that kind of double powers to overtake, you must understand that is awesome. That is awesome. I've been living in this over 68 years. I know what it means. I've watched many die. I've watched many commit suicide. I've watched many die of various diseases. I've seen people backslide and turn away from God and never come back. I mean, I can give you so many things I've seen. But in the middle of all of that, by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the blood, by the nature of Jesus and by angels, I've been protected and brought to this hour of my age is 84. 84, that sounds like a big age, don't it? Well, I feel more like 64 because of the healing presence of the Son of God. Now, I'm telling you, you need to pull down the power stronghold, the devil's stronghold that comes against your life. I don't care who you are, what your name is, how much money you make, what color your skin is, none of that makes an ounce of difference. The devil is after your soul. The devil is after your soul. And the devil will bring you under bondage and the powers of hell and make a defeated foe out of you and render your life of no really real lasting value. And I'm telling you, my friends, you need the protection of the risen Lord. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to talk about the source of pulling down the strongholds of the devil. I want to talk about the person who moves into our life and enables what Jesus has done. He's the source, enables his victory to become your victory. And then I'm going to talk about your part in this. God doesn't make a robot out of anybody and do things for you that you don't ask him to do or want him to do or seek him to do. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. We have not. You got to hear that now. Every one of you, we have not because we ask not. Now, after we talk about the source and after we talk about the means of that victory and we get to the part that you got to play, you got to hear me because I'm telling you, you, God makes no robot out of anybody. God's not going to do things for you you don't ask him to do, that you don't trust him to do, that you don't allow him to do. He can't do them. He's not going to do them. That's just God. God wants you to be a partner with him and not just a robot that he moves around with strings. No, no. God never moves people around like a robot. So you have got to get the message, and then you have got to understand the source of your victory. You got to understand the person and the means by which that victory comes, and then you got to play your part. You got to do what your responsibility tells you to do. Now, to go to the source, let's go to an Old Testament scripture, and there are many New Testament scriptures that reveal this to us. The book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, the book of John, they're full of stories and experiences where Christ broke the power of a stronghold of the devil. It don't often say or call it a stronghold, but you've got to understand that everything the devil and the world does against you is a kind of stronghold that keeps you bound to the world, keeps you bound to worldliness, keeps you bound to the power of Satan working in your life, lying and cussing and stealing and swearing. Every kind of evil you can imagine becomes a part of people who are bound in the strongholds of the devil. I mean, I cannot never name for you all the things that will occur if you are bound by the strongholds of Satan. But there anything that destroys, anything that creates a broken spirit, anything that makes you a sad, unhappy person, anything that makes you depressed and ornery, anything that makes you mean as a snake, anything that makes you to be a person tearing up things and doing all kinds of damage, anything that makes you come against your husband or your wife or your children or your neighbors. I mean, the multiplicity of things that occur in the life of someone under the stronghold of the devil and the world. See, the world is just a tool of the devil. The Bible says that God so loved the world. He did, but the Bible also says Satan is the prince of the power of the air and the god of this world, he's actually called. The god of this world. This world loves the devil. Not him as a person, but the things he's done. The things that reflect him. The things that show us his evil work in our midst. Now, let's go to Isaiah 53, and let's just go to one verse. We may read two, but let's get this one verse. Listen carefully. Yet it pleased the Lord, that's God, to bruise him, that's the Son. It pleased God to bruise his Son. It pleased God to bruise. Do you hear me? Bruise. B-R-U-I-S-E. Bruise. That means do damage to. That means to crucify. That means to put to death. It pleased God to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. God hath put him to grief. When God made him or his soul an offering for sin. I mean, sin reflects the totality of the devil. Everything that is satanic has the nature of sin. It has the nature of destruction. And it pleased God to bruise Jesus, that Jesus might become a defense for us, a victory for us, an overcoming power for us against the devil. You don't have to be bound to the devil another day. The Lord Jesus has been bruised for you by the Father to set him as a victory for you over the devil. Now, man, that's powerful. That's the source. The source is Jesus Christ. You understand why the world hates Jesus? Did you see that other day when a man was carrying a placard out there marching and it said, if Jesus returns, kill him again? Why do they want to kill him again? Because the devil hates what he's done. The devil hates the victory that is ours because of him. He is the source. There is no other source. I don't care what kind of a preacher you got or no. I don't care what kind of a guru you got or you know. I don't care what kind of dark religion you're part of or that you participate in. I'm here to tell you it is Jesus who is the source of every victory you ever win over Satan. Jesus is the source. He's the only source. The Bible says God given him a name which is above every name, all names, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess to the glory of God. Now, that verse is powerful. It pleased God to make him an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see his travail. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Because Jesus has come to win the victory for us. Now, to see a little more of that, let's go a little earlier. That same chapter, Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He hath borne our grief. Are you grieving right now because you got this virus that came from this dark thing out of China? Are you grieved right now? Are you grieved right now? Are you suffering pain and fever and headaches and your whole body is wrecked with this horrible thing? Well, there's many other things equal to it. They're everywhere. All kinds of things to attack the body, to attack the mind, to attack the whole person. I mean, we live in a world of that. But he, the Bible says, surely he hath borne our grief and he hath carried our sorrows. He hath borne our grief. He hath carried our sorrows. The next verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took our peace. Took our peace. We didn't have it. He took it and gave it to us. So he has become our peace. He has become our means of grace. He's become our means of mercy. He hath borne for us the iniquities. The scripture goes on to say he was bruised for our iniquities. That's our sins. He was bruised for them. He was beat to an inch of his life. For your sins. You say, oh, not for my sins. Oh, yes, every living soul. He was bruised for your sins. He was bruised for your sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Hey, listen to that. You got to hear this. Some of you aren't listening good. Stop what you're doing a minute, would you? Just a minute and say with me, he was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, T-S-T-R-I-P, they beat him until his flesh hung off like rags. The Bible said he was bruised and beat beyond any description of any person else in human history. He was made, he was like a pile of destroyed flesh as they beat him and whipped him and ripped his skin off of him. And his skin hung like rags all around him. But you know something? The divine life of God was with him. And if they were to pile him up in the floor with nothing but broken bones and separated parts of the body covered in blood and everything, he could have got up and walked away. He could have got up out of that pile of nothingness and walked away because they couldn't kill him. He was divine. He was absolutely divine. That was a body he was in. But the body he was in was just the clothing in which bore the divine Son of the living God. The divine Son of the living God, crucified before the foundation of the world. But now he's there bearing all our iniquities and all our darknesses and all our sins. Now, that's the source of our ability to pull down the strongholds of the devil. See, all the damage, all the darkness out there, all the sickness you see, everything you see that came from the devil, it is nothing but strongholds of hell. It's nothing but what the devil is doing against you and me and everybody he can get a hold of. He goeth about, the Bible said, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in John 10:10, the enemy has come to kill and steal and destroy. The enemy, the devil, has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. Now remember those words, kill and steal and destroy. That's what Satan came to do. Kill and steal and destroy. And so demons everywhere are doing the biddings of the devil. So you see, that devil's everywhere. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. There are multiplied millions of demons who walk the earth, who walk about seeking whom they may devour. Satan sends them on errands when he has somebody he really wants to, destroy. It's a dark mess. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. I'm not giving you nothing but what's in the Bible. I'm giving you nothing but what's in the Bible. And all you got to do is look at the destruction everywhere, and you know the demons everywhere. God don't do ugly things. Holy angels don't do ugly things. Godly people don't do ugly things. All these ugly things you see are the work of Satan. They are Satan. The source of them is the devil. But the source of mine, your victory, is Jesus Christ. I lift him up to you today with everything I'm capable of. I want you to know that Jesus has won absolute victory for you. I want you to know that every stronghold of hell is subject to the devil, to the words and to the power and to the authority of Jesus Christ. You've got to understand that the only hope you've got is in Jesus. There is no other hope. I don't care what kind of God you have discovered in some literature or in somebody's thinking, imaginations, I would be better to call them. I'm telling you, God is the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Could you say Jesus is the victory? Everybody out there, say it with me. Jesus is the victory. Say it again. Jesus is the only victory. Tell your family. Tell your neighbors. Tell your friends. Tell everybody you know. Jesus alone. Jesus alone. The world hates him. I said the world hates him. I'm reading in literature where many political people are turning away from Christianity altogether. There was a big article the other day on the internet that said Democrats in mass are turning away from Christianity. Well, I see the evidence of that everywhere, not just Democrats, but all kinds of people, Republicans, some of them too. So I'm telling you, we are in a free fall of Christianity. We're in a free fall of the views and the concepts and the truth of Christianity. Did you know the Bible said the day would come when truth would fall in the streets? When truth would fall in the streets. When there would be such a destruction of truth and such a total offense against truth. Everybody, no, multitudes of people want Christianity destroyed. They want it destroyed. Now you got to understand, the work of the devil is seen everywhere. This horrible disease is the work of the devil. And God allows it because we've killed so many babies. Do you realize in America, already this year, there's been over 125,000 babies killed in abortion. Probably close to 200 now. I'm not kidding you, friend. We're in a dark hour. And some dark things are happening, and they're the work of Satan. But you and I can pull down the strongholds of the devil. Now, we can no longer do it after the rapture. We can only do it between now and the glorious rapture when Jesus comes for his saints, because we have a restrainer, and the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has got to be in us to do any restraining. The Holy Ghost doesn't float around in the air and restrain. He restrains in the use of Bible believers. Of people who know God, who love God, who belong to God. If you don't love him and you don't know him and you don't obey him, then the devil is just at free operation all around you, your home, your family, your life, your kids. Everything's falling apart, and you are going to be the final subject of falling apart if you don't learn that there's no victory over the devil but Jesus Christ. It's no wonder the world hates him. It really is no wonder the world hates him. Now, you got to understand, I mean, it's so important that you understand that only in Jesus can we have an ounce of victory and overcome these powers of darkness. Now, I want to move a little further now. We got to understand that Jesus Christ wants to give us the victory, and we have the sower. Let me take you, and there's so many scriptures that I can take you to. I'm going to take you to a couple of different ones. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians, and then we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to show you in two different sources that God has made it such that we can overcome the devil. That the devil has no power but what you give him. Whatever the devil is doing to you right now is your fault. It's you that will not stand up and will not stop him and will not get where you need to get so that you can win the battle over him. Now, let me take you to the book of 2 Corinthians. This is a great book, 2 Corinthians. Well, I had that marked, and I moved my marking for some other reason and didn't put it back. So go to 2 Corinthians with me, and we will find something that is powerful. I'm telling you, it is so powerful. I've lived by it through many years of my life. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh... Every day we have to go to work in the flesh. We go to bed at night. We get up in the morning. We eat breakfast in the flesh. The majority of what you do in a given day, you do in your flesh. That's not wrong as long as it's pure things and you're making a living for your family and you're going to get groceries or you're mowing the yard. You're living in the flesh. So though we walk in the flesh, now notice we do not war, W-A-R, after the flesh. Now, I got to get this to you. If I don't get this in your little noggin, I'm going to fail you today. Listen to me. You walk in the flesh. Everything you do, basically, is in the flesh on a daily basis, just making a living, just, you know, doing the things to keep the house standing. Last night, I had to call my son to come and restart my water heater because it wasn't restarting on its own. And now I got to find a plumber to come over there and fix that water heater's gas. And it has to cut on and off. The gas has to be lit and unlit. And, you know, hour by hour as it keeps my water hot. So I can take a hot shower or so I can wash dishes or whatever, you know. And so we walk in the flesh. But notice, we do not war, W-A-R, after the flesh. If all you fight the devil with is your mouth and your flesh, you're losing and you're going to lose every time. If all you do is just what you can do, you know, God, I'm just coming to you and my little self. And I'm saying, stop the devil. And God says, well, you know, he waits for you to go further. He says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now listen, notice the next verse. For the weapon. W-E-A-P-O-N-S. The weapons. Notice that. For the weapons of our warfare. The weapons with which we fight the devil. The weapons with which we stop the devil. The weapons with which we pull down his stronghold. They're not of the flesh, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, you've got to hear that verse. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not flesh and blood. They're not my mouth and my hands and my feet, but they are mighty. Notice that word mighty. That's a powerful word. Mighty. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You, listen at me. I'm looking you straight in the eyeball. You are capable in Christ of pulling down the strongholds of the devil. You are capable in Christ to pull down the strongholds of the devil. You say, I'm not capable of that. I know in your flesh you are not. And that's what most people think of, is just their flesh. But I'm moving past the flesh, see? And I'm trying to get you to understand past the flesh. The weapons of your warfare are not physical. They're not carnal. They're not your big mouth, or your big strong arms, or your big strong feet, or your big strong back. That's not how you defeat the devil. The weapons of your warfare are mighty. M-I-G-H-T-Y. I like that word. Mighty. Through God. See, it is through God, not by you, but you through God. See, God will not do anything that you're supposed to do. You cannot do what God has to do. But God will do in you what needs to be done if you will become available to Him. Now, you've got to be a consecrated Christian at this point. You've got to give up your life of sin. You've got to have been born again. You've got to have been sanctified and set apart from your flesh life. You've got to been filled with the Holy Spirit. One great Baptist man that I loved, Stephen Offord, he said, when I was born again, I had the Holy Spirit. But when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, He had me. You need to get to the place that the Holy Spirit has you. Are you willing? Now that's consecration. That's living in your Bible. That's being faithful in the house of God. That's knowing how to pray until you pray through. If you will allow God, He'll make a mighty prayer warrior out of you. And you can pull down the strongholds of hell. You're not pulling down a little old wimpy person. Most of the church world is a bunch of wimps. Most men I know, they're a bunch of wimps. They can't even talk loud enough. You can hear them. Because I'm half deaf, you know. So I got a good excuse there. But I'm telling you, listen to me. You can be a mighty force for God. You can be a dynamite force for God. You can be so full of the Holy Ghost that the devil's scared of you. You say, the devil ain't no ever going to be scared of me. I know, like you are right now, he isn't. But if you make up your mind, you could go to the place he'd be scared of you. You could go to the place that when you fell on your knees, the devil start trembling. But you aren't there, most of you, the majority of you, the 99+9% of you. I just don't know anybody much that the devil's scared of. Because nobody wants to get alone with God and pray and prepare and live in the Bible and really give themselves to be a victorious Christian. But if you want to be a victorious Christian, you can be. It's you that must consecrate. It's you that must get your life on the altar. It's you must give up sin. It's you that must get in this Bible and live in this book. And then he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Would you yell mighty with me? Say it loud. Mighty. I can hear you. Say it again. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down of strongholds. What do you mean when you say pull down a stronghold? I mean as a demon in your house that's been talking all the time and destroying one of your children. And you walk in one day after you've been on your face with God and you say, devil, I've had enough of you and I'm running you out of my house. I'm binding you by the power of the blood and by the power of the Holy Ghost. And devil, turn my son loose and turn my daughter loose. And then go to doing that regular. Go to doing that day after day, night after night. And I'm telling you, at the point that God's ordained, it'll all happen. And that devil's power will be broken. And you will have seen a victory in your daughter or in your son. There are multitudes of you mothers sitting out there watching your kids go to hell. And you don't know how to pray. You don't know how to get along with God and cry out to Him. You've never been here. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Mighty through God. You must always remember through God. People say to me, I can't live right. It's no use to me trying. I say, you sure cannot. You cannot live right. But He can in you if you'll give up and let Him take over. I mean, that's what he wants. He wants to take over your life, and he wants to rule it for you. And when you let him come in and take over, then you, through God, can pull down strongholds in your home, in your family, in your life. There's not a mother out there that couldn't win the victory over for your son and for your daughter over the destructions of hell that's going on right now. He'll come and want me to pray the prayer of victory, and I'll do my best. I'm willing to help you. But I'm telling you, you mothers, you are the ones who are authorities with God. And you daddies, you are the ones who have authority with God for your family. And if you'll get with it, if you'll truly get with it, then mighty through God, you can pull down the strongholds of the devil. Now, think about this. I'm telling you something that you are capable. You are capable. You are capable to do it in the right way. Now, I'm going to tell you how to go further in a moment. I'm just trying to get it across in your head that you can be the source of a great victory in your home and family. You can be the source of a great victory in your church, in your business. It don't matter what part of your life. I can tell you, I can go back and look at my life through the years, and I can tell you victory after victory in physical ways, in material ways, and in spiritual ways that God helped me win. I remember a little lady, I won't give her name, but she became very sick, and she had the bug. I mean, it was a virus like going around right now. And she was sick as a dog. And I went to her home about 3 times to pray for her, and nothing happened. And God spoke to me and said, "You're the pastor. It's your duty to bind this thing and to stop it." And so I said, "Okay, God." So I went home and started fasting. And I fasted 3 days, no food, just praying and crying out to God and seeking the face of God. And after 3 days, the Holy Ghost said, "Now go, and I'll give you the victory." Didn't say that with words. He just said that in my heart, and I knew that's what he was telling me. And I went straight to that place, laid my hands on that girl, and she was perfectly healed within minutes. Perfectly healed within minutes, and the devil's power was broken. I can tell you one of those after the other. I can tell you of material things. I've built 3 great churches. Those 3 great churches together are worth $10 million. The Church of God took the one on Little Rock, worth $5 million, took it away from us in the courts, and it wasn't theirs. And somewhere down the road, they're going to pay for that. Maybe they already have. I don't really know. God will take care of that. And I'm not trying to effect it. But I'm here to tell you that you can be building a building, and it's God's building, and you're building it for Christ's glory. I remember up at Black Mountain, we was building that church. It was time to go to camp meeting, and camp meeting was starting on Monday, and I wanted to be there. But Monday was a day we had to first take and get the roof on that building, because it was going to mess up something if we didn't. And so we got up there and started, and the clouds came. I mean, the clouds came, and rain began to pour all over the city of Black Mountain, except that one little spot where we were building that church. And I don't know the perimeter fully, 100, 200, 300, 1,000 feet, but around us that whole day, we stayed on that roof and finished those shingles and came down, I'm telling you, and God held back the rain for that little spot of physical territory where we were putting a roof on that building. Now, I've seen those kind of things on numerous occasions through the years. As God would just do things in the material world that was necessary. You know, God moves he created this earth. You don't think he can handle the clouds and direct their path? Do you think there's anything about this world that God isn't capable of being in charge of? There is nothing, friend. And oh, I've seen so many. I can sit here and tell you that I'm a man of multiplicity of miracles through the years that God has performed. None of them made me anything but just an old, hungry man seeking the mind and will of God. I have nothing of which to brag, I'm telling you right now. But I'm telling you that God answers prayer, and you can pull down the strongholds of hell. There's not a person out there, not one living person, that cannot be used of God for some great victory. And I want you to be one of those. You used of God. I want you to be one of those used of God. I want the anointed of God upon you. And see, it's all through God. I got to get another verse here. Let's go. Let's go, if we might, to Ephesians. I love this. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let me find it here right quick. Oh, I went the wrong direction. Ephesians is after 2 Corinthians, not before 2 Corinthians. You see, I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. I want to show you something here. It's very powerful. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, you become strong by Him. You don't become strong without Him. You become strong with Him. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice that. Put on the whole armor of God. The Bible, prayer, church, the whole armor of God. Everything that has to do with God. Put on the whole armor. Don't sit around home on Sunday and think you're going to become spiritual because you just didn't quite feel like going to church. If I go to church, I might get a bug. You might get a bug sitting there in your home too.
I'm
thinking about naming this church the Walmart Church. Everybody goes to Walmart. Regardless of whatever. I mean, you could say of the Food Lion Church. You know, you go there, the place packed out. You go by the church and it's all empty. I'll tell you what's wrong. People got more hunger for the belly than they got for God. That's what's wrong. No question about it. Are you hearing me? Woo, this is pretty straight. I'm cutting with a big knife today. Do you hear me? I am concerned with a passion for you. So he said, put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now you got to hear this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Four sources of dark things that you're fighting. Four sources by which you need the victorious power of Jesus Christ. Four sources of evil, of the wicked one. He names them. He says against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you don't think this world is under hell's bondage, man, you need to wake up. If you don't see what's happening to our world politically, economically, academically, religiously, every sphere of this world is under darkness, and it overwhelms me how dark has come in my years. Saved in 52, little boy 16 years old, and it was easy to have a Holy Ghost revival. It was easy to see 20 and 30 saved in a couple of weeks of revival. Now, it is almost impossible. It takes the mighty power of God to yank a sinner out of their bondage to the world because they're under these powers. They need somebody to pull down the strongholds. That's what I'm trying to talk to you about, is you can become the source of pulling down these strongholds. Are you willing? Are you willing? Now, listen. For we wrestle not against flesh. You're not fighting with flesh. You may make it a flesh fight. You may fuss and growl and throw every kind of thing you can at people. You may try to hurt them, even hate them. I mean, I've been in so many battles with flesh and blood. I know I can't win, so I have to get myself right and turn them loose, let God handle them, and me go on with God's business. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Every one of you ought to read Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. You ought to read it every day until you understand what kind of battle you're in. You ought to read it every day until you realize you can't win in this war. It isn't even possible. It isn't possible. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. And he goes on and talk about our winning and how we've got to win by putting on the whole armor, by doing everything necessary to get us ready for warfare. The warfare is in the Spirit. It's in the Bible. It's in the promises of God. It's by the blood. It's by the work of the Holy Ghost. It's all a spiritual warfare. And you've got to be spiritually equipped. If you're not spiritually equipped, there's no way you can win. You've got to become spiritually equipped. you really have. But he goes on to say, and I love this, and take unto thee the helmet of salvation, and take unto thee the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the sword of the Holy Ghost, which is the Word of God. Do you know this is like a two-edged sword? Do you know this is like, if you'll dare to believe this book, then you have a two-edged sword in your hand by which you go to destroy the devil. You don't destroy the devil in your power. You go in the power of this holy book. And he goes on to say after that verse about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the sword of the Spirit. You don't have time to read the Bible, then you don't have a sword, and so you're sitting duck. The devil can do anything he wants to do with you because you are in his possession. He has rule over you because the only helmet you got, the only sword you got, the only victory you've got is in this book, this holy book. No wonder the Bible is being attacked today, and they're making multiplicity of different versions of the Bible because they want to reduce it to a smorgasbord. They want to make it a pick and choose cafeteria where you pick the Bible you like best because it says less to you about your life of sin. My friend, get you an authorized version of the Bible. Get you an authorized version of the Bible. If you have any other kind, you have the wrong thing. Get you an authorized version. Now, I'm not just for the King James. I'm for the text that lies behind the King James. I got a book up there that's called the Authorized Greek Text, and it goes right back to the originals, and you can depend on every word in it. And that's what you have in the King James. You have every word of that authorized Greek and Hebrew text in your Bible, in your hand, and you don't have an excuse. You really don't have an excuse. Not an ounce of excuse. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice, in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Until you pray in the Spirit, you're not making any ground at all. I mean, until you pray in the Holy Ghost, it's just flesh praying. I wish I could get across to all of you that the reason you can't stop the devil destroying your children is because all you do is pray in your flesh. You haven't given yourself to be baptized in the Holy Ghost until you pray in the Spirit. That's what he said, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. He actually says it, praying and waiting. I'm sorry, praying and watching. Praying and watching. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Oh, I like praying in the Spirit. I get up every morning about 6, sometimes a little before. This morning, I guess it was 5:45. I was sleepy, but when I got here and the Holy Ghost started moving on me, I lost being sleepy. The anointing of the Holy Ghost came on me, and I was like a dynamo. When the Holy Ghost comes on me, I am a dynamo. That's what I am when the Holy Ghost is upon me. I've got the Holy Ghost upon me right now. And I'm telling you the truth. If you don't obey it and listen to it, then you are going to suffer terrible. And the end results will be the devil will take you at his own will and make mincemeat out of you. He'll reduce you to a helpless little critter. Are you listening to me? Now, one more verse on the subject. Now, I'm dealing with the source of your victory. The source of your victory here is the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit alone. There is no power from God that makes the Bible and the blood become active and powerful but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the Bible and takes the blood of Jesus, and with the promise of the Bible, the authority of the Bible, and with the power of the blood, he effects victory by his Spirit, and he just rules through you, and you become a powerhouse for God. You little ladies, you little mothers, you could become dynamite. Some of the greatest prayer warriors there's ever been was godly mothers who would get on their knees hours every day, and they'd pray until they were just plain old dynamite. Someone in Virginia was telling me some time ago of a woman up in Danville who would go to the woods and pray. Everybody knew about this old woman who prayed in the woods. And finally, people began to call her for prayer. And she prayed down so many miracles for people in Virginia that they could tell me about it years after she was dead and gone. Our evangelist, Brother Baggett, had a great grandmother, and she was the prayer warrior of prayer warriors. She trusted God with her body. She trusted God with her life, and she could pray, and she could get a victory. You know, that's what we got to have in this closing hour. That's what we got to have. We're working hard on that here at Paul Creek, and we're developing it, and it's going to happen that we're going to have prayer power that can bring many wonderful miracles to occur, because we are determined. We are just determined. We cannot live with less than this. We really cannot. And we got to have it. And you need it. And God's going to give it to us. Now, you understand the sowers. You understand the sowers. You then understand your part. You understand how this comes by the Holy Ghost in you. Never by the Holy Ghost apart from you. And never by you apart from the Holy Ghost. But you and the Holy Ghost. You full of the Holy Ghost is absolutely, absolutely a victor over the devil. The devil has no power. Did I read you this verse? I don't think I did. It says, and I love this, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. How many out there want to pull down some strongholds? How many of you know of strongholds that you are desperate to see happen in your life? How many of you know that? I'm opening the lines. I got them fixed here where I can hear 704-391-0588. I'd like to take these last minutes and answer some questions out there about pulling down strongholds. How you can become a dynamo for God. How you can become a dynamo for God. A literal dynamo for God. That's just plain nothing like it. There's nothing so wonderful as when God gets a hold of somebody and they become a mighty powerhouse, and they begin to help their neighbors and their friends, the people they work around, and their children and their grandchildren. I'm staying on my face until I see my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren now full of the Holy Ghost. Saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. Not going to give up until they're saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost. I don't just believe in being saved. I believe you've got to get your life surrendered to Christ. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is when you give up your will totally for His will. And He accepts that. And then He does a deep work in you. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now that's the place you need to reach toward so that God can make a dynamo out of you. You need to reach to the place where you are crucified with Christ, where is God's will totally, utterly, completely, absolutely, where you are His and you live a life in Him and not in yourself. See, the flesh can do nothing. The flesh is so helpless, it's pathetic. My flesh, your flesh, their flesh, whoever's flesh is helpless. You can't do nothing. If you're a preacher that all you depend on is your flesh and you never get on your knees and stay there for hours getting yourself on fire for God, you're just a joke. That's all you are. You may be a real playboy. You may really be a show off. You may really be able to, I see there are so many churches, Pentecostals, who are a lot of noise, but no power. They don't trust God with their bodies. But they can come together and shout and hoop and holler, run the aisles, sometimes run the back of the pews. Let me tell you something. Emotions are from you. If you have an emotional time of praising and loving God, there's nothing wrong with that. But when somebody says to me, the Holy Ghost came on me, and I ran on the back of the pews, I say, sir, that was not the Holy Ghost. That was your stupidity. You ought to fall and break your neck when you try to do things like that. I'm going to tell you the truth. You say, are you that hard? Yes, I am. I am so sick of Pentecostal emotions. I want to see some Pentecostal power. I want to see power that brings the wicked to the cross. I want to see power that brings the sick to a miracle of healing. I want to see power that does things that changes people's lives. Now, if you don't like this, I'm sorry. Deal with me. Call me and chew me out. I'll be glad to listen. The phone's fixed where you can call. All you got to do is dial. I'm telling you, 704-391-0588. Oh, you can call me. I won't treat you ugly. I'll listen to you. I'll see what you got to say to me. I don't mind it at all. That's my phone number, 704-391-0588. I want us to get started pulling down some strongholds. I want us to get started pulling down some devils. The political world is a stronghold today. We got people in offices that are so carnal and so socialistic and so authoritarians that want to rule you and dominate you and call the shots for your life. My friend, that is not God's will for you. God made you a free moral agent. Are you going to call me? 704-391-0588. I'm trying to cut it off now. 704-391-0588. I would love to talk to you about this. I'd love to get you helping me pull down some political strongholds in America. You need to get on your face. There are politicians who believe it's okay to kill babies, abort babies big time. There are politicians who believe all kinds of stuff. You vote for one of those dudes, you're just as guilty as he is or she is. I mean, we are living in the day when there are so many strongholds all over this nation, all over the world, all over political dominions, all over different sources, all over the church world, all over the academic world. Do you realize how the academic world has destroyed a whole multitude of boys and girls for 20, 30, 40 years now? And that's why we got all these crazy people doing crazy things, because they've been educated by crazy professors and crazy teachers. Let's get back to the Bible. Let's get back to the Word of God. Let's get back to the truth of the book. Now, I'm being trying to be careful here. I want you to be able to hear what I'm saying, because we are in a crisis state in America. And the crisis is there are so many political powers. There are so many evil powers. There are so many demon spirits that are ruling our world. And your home is being torn apart. Your business is being torn apart. Your life is in shadows. Your emotions are in shadows. You are a mental wreck, and all kinds of things happening, and I can only name a few here, and they can be changed. They can be broken. You're full of the devil. You drink booze and you stay half drunk. Do you want to be free of that? You're killing yourself. You're going to die young. You're going to die before it's time to die, because you're destroying your body, and Jesus wants to set you free and make you a child of the King. Can you imagine having the joy of the Lord in your heart? Can you imagine being so happy you can hardly contain yourself? Can you imagine peace that passeth understanding? Can you imagine living a happy life with a sweetheart wife or a sweetheart husband with sweetheart kids, and being able to sit down at night and read your Bible, have a good supper together, and read the book, and get down and pray a little while, and the Holy Ghost come into your home, and you have a sweet time of worship. Everybody starts singing after you prayed a while, and the joy of the Lord comes down, and it's time to go to bed, and everybody can go to bed and sleep like a baby because they've had this wonderful time with God in the home. Can you imagine anything sweeter than that? That's what your home can become. Your home can become a little heaven on earth. Your home can become a happy, beautiful place where mama loves daddy and daddy loves mama. I asked my oldest daughter some time ago, what do you remember most about our home? Talking about the Chambers family and the Chambers home. And my Teresa looked at me and said, Dad, that's so easy. I said, well, tell me, what is it? She said, I remember how much my daddy always loved my mother. I remember how much my daddy always loved my mother. Well, I loved my Juanita so much, I'd catch her in the hallways. You know, we had a school from 74, and she helped me. I mean, she was here 47 of those 50 years, 1 year to 50, 49. Oh, no, wait a minute, 46 that we've been here. She was part of it for 43 of those years, and she was the power behind the throne, brother. She was so wonderful. She could walk through the building, and everything would calm down, and everything would go back to peace and normal, and she was just a powerhouse. I'm telling you, she was my darling, and I loved. I catch her in the hall, grab her and kiss her. And the students would catch me kissing Mama, and they thought it was the sweetest thing. That Papa was always kissing on Mama. See, we were Papa and Mama for the whole school. I was the president. She was either a teacher or the principal. And we just loved everybody, and they loved us. And they all remember her. They don't remember me. That's okay. I don't mind that, because she was so wonderful, you couldn't forget her. And I can be, I have to be so stern sometimes that you want to forget me. But that's okay. We did it together, and we both, you know, we did it together and had a happy time. Now listen, I'm waiting for some calls. I want to answer a question or two. Have you heard what I preached, what I've taught today? Have you heard about this ability, absolutely ability, to pull down strongholds? Have you heard it? I'm going to take you back and let you hear that song again. It was so beautiful. I'm telling you, it was so beautiful. Absolutely breathtaking. Sung by the evangelist's wife, Brother and Sister Baggett, Reverend and Ms. Baggett. She's down in Florida, and I called, so I hope she's listening to me. And she's a dear lady. She and her husband and three of their kids lived in our home all week. They got three girls that didn't get to come, and I miss them. They have a lovely family. I'm crazy to death over them. Really, I am. And that's such a beautiful thing. Same way with Garfield Chambers down in Georgia, crazy over his family. Well, my family's all married and busy, and you know how it is. And their families are still at home and still around Mama and Daddy's feet and knees. And you know, and I wish I could go back to that. But at 84, I have got two grandbabies coming in a few days now. 21st of this month, they fly in to be with Papa. And I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. They are darlings. I need to get some pictures on here once in a while and show you a picture of all five of my grands. I wouldn't want to show one without showing all five, because I love them equally. Now, I'm still waiting for a call, 704-391-0588. I don't understand why you don't grab a phone. Used to be I couldn't answer all the calls, and now people don't care enough about the Bible to call. How many of you want to be a stronghold puller? Pulling down strongholds. How many of you got children that are bound with drugs and maybe even sins of darkness, and you want to pull down those powers of the devil and see your kids saved? I'm telling you, there's not a one of you. There's not a man or woman or preacher listening to me that God is not ready to use you to pull down strongholds. If you don't do it, it's your fault, it's your own making, it's your own decision. But if you'll make up your mind, you could be dynamite for Christ. Now, I got to tell you that I'm looking for you in church tomorrow. Paul Creek Church tomorrow is going to be, I believe, a dynamite place. Now, we have distant in seating. Every other pew, we have things for you to sanitize your hands when you come in the door. We don't pass an offering plate. We let you walk to the front and put in your offering. We're doing everything we know to do to make you safe. And God has used it, and we've kept everybody safe. And I'm thankful to God, and we're going to continue to keep you safe, because we're going to baptize every service with Holy Ghost praying. We're going to cry out to God that every old attack of the enemy is defeated, and the devil is driven back in total and utter defeat. We're not going to fail to do those kind of things, because we know the God we serve, and we know the victory that's in Him. So I want to preach to you in the morning. I want you to come, and let's join together pulling down strongholds. We'll help you tomorrow pull down your stronghold. We'll pray with you, pray for you. The prayer warriors of this church will share the burden you have, and we'll see a victory. That's our prayer every time we come to church, is to see a victory, to see something wonderful, something beautiful. Hey, I got a message here. I'm going to get it up. Garfield Chambers, happy Independence Day, brother. We love you. Thank you, Garfield, and all the Chamberses down there in Georgia. Did you know there's two Chambers families? I think we're all background somewhere, part of one another. Hey, I love you. I really do. God bless you. I want you to hear this song again. It was just that beautiful. I got another one right behind it, but I want to play this one again, and let you just rejoice in it. And nothing more beautiful than singing and playing a good song. And this song is really good. Did you know He's our friend? He's wonderful. Listen.
Right every day, even this world,
yes,
could never. contain how I have been blessed.
I have been blessed. Can you scream that out? I've been blessed.
The warmth in the
Can you say that? I've been blessed.
I've been blessed. In spring, the laughter of summer, the changing of leaves.
Oh, joy, sir.
Food on my table, a good place to sleep.
Hallelujah.
Clothes on my back and shoes on my feet. Hallelujah. Oh, I have been blessed.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me.
Oh, hallelujah.
No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good. So good. I have been blessed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on.
Listen to that.
When I am down, the rock where I run to when I'm overwhelmed.
Hallelujah.
The place where I hide,
Lord.
Under His wing. He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed.
I have been blessed, Lord.
I have been blessed. God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good.
God has been good.
So good.
Oh, so good.
I have been blessed. Oh, I have.